Name is Jesus. And I tell you what, we enjoy celebrating this time of year. Turning your Bibles, if you will, to Isaiah. Now, while you're turning, I want to make special mention. I was told I had to make special mention of this. This time of year, all the Christmas decorations and stuff come out. I see Brother Jim's got his Christmas tie. I started to wear one of my Christmas ties this morning, and I didn't. I see Brother Jim's got his on. I see Brother Rick's got his on. Brother Adam's even got a Christmas tie on. And he's even got a suit to match. Somebody said that needs to be the new deacon uniform for the holiday season. Stand up, Brother Adam. Stand up, Brother Adam. Show everybody. Somebody said they're going to buy me one. I said, you buy it, I'll wear it. You bold enough to buy it, I'm bold enough to wear it. Amen. Me and Adam be twins. Amen. But we are so thankful for the privilege to be in God's house this morning. Thankful for this time of year. I don't like all the commercialization of Christmas. And my wife can tell you, last week, I was so thankful that my daughter showed up, because as I was trying to figure out the stinking lights on the stinking Christmas tree, I told Deb, I said, if I get fortunate, luckily I'll break one of these bulbs and it'll electrocute me. And I won't have to fool with any more of this mess. And you sickos that decorate before Thanksgiving, I don't know about you. Can't even let the turkey have its place. Amen. I think some right after Halloween were starting to put Christmas decorations up. Talking about they couldn't wait. We've commercialized, huh? She, my daughter rescued, amen. I was sitting there just praying when the bulb, Deb says, what you mumbling about? I said, I'm praying one of these bulbs will break and electrocute me and I won't have to fool with this mess anymore. I hate my house disrupted. I like everything to stay like it is. But you got to throw this chair out, this has got to move, that's got to move. You can't hang it, you go take your shoes off, you're kicking something, some of my lands. Leave it alone. It's about Jesus. Amen. I like Christmas, but I don't like the commercialization of Christmas and all that stuff. But we're excited. Look, if you've never been to the Living Christmas Tree, get tickets and go. They're free. Don't call you. It's an awesome, awesome program. It really is. They hadn't done it for years. Last year was the first year they'd done it in a long time when Brother Tipton, who was their musical director over there, retired. They had quit doing it. And I found out last year that they'd done it last year. And then somebody told me the tickets were available this year. And we grabbed as many. We got people to get tickets so that we would have enough for everybody that wanted to go. And if you've never been, there's a picture hanging on the board of the tree itself, but it's not just all about the tree. It's a whole program, and it's an awesome program. It's a very, very well done, very good Christmas program. You will enjoy yourself, I guarantee you. So if you don't have tickets, if you've never been, get some, see Sister Mary, get some tickets. She said she's got 20 left, and I think I know where there might be a few more even. Get some tickets and make plans to go. And, you don't have to sit with us. You don't have to acknowledge that you know us. We're not going to hold it against you. Amen. So, if that's what's the matter, I don't want to go with that bunch. Well, just, sneak in. You can sit in the back. You can sit wherever you want to. Just act like you don't know us, It's just kind of like the story said, it's a joke, but it's so much truth in jokes sometimes. It says, over in Islam, they don't acknowledge the Jews. The Jews don't acknowledge the Gentiles. Amen. This one don't acknowledge that one. That one don't acknowledge that one. It gets all the way down. And they said the Baptists don't acknowledge one another in the liquor store. And we laugh about that. But it's so true. Some places where you find Christians where they shouldn't be. Amen. But we won't hold it against you if you don't want to acknowledge us. Over to Christmas tree program. Amen. We're used to it. Amen. Everybody I was watching a movie last night, or a comedy show last night, and a guy was getting a little bit irreverent, and he said, "Now, don't you Baptists get all upset. You know, we always get blamed for stuff, so we're used to it, amen." And we're just excited, though. But we like Christmas. We like that Christmas program over there. See, it puts the focus in the right place. I don't mind stuff like that, amen. It's focused on the right thing. But we get the wrong idea about Christmas. If you found Isaiah chapter 9, I told you 6 earlier, didn't I? Isaiah chapter 9. And if you're able to, stand to your feet as we reverence and honor the reading of God's word. "For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and a government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his government and peace there shall be no end, upon the throne of David and upon his kingdom, to order it and to establish it with judgment and with justice from henceforth, even forever. The zeal of the Lord of hosts will perform this." Now, as we got to thinking and thinking about Jesus and thinking about who he is and all that the Bible tells us about him, we got to thinking about all the different names and titles of Jesus and all the things that the Bible says about him. And I was thinking about Emmanuel, God with us. Man, I love that thought, God with us. Amen. We're never alone. We're not forsaken. God with us. And I got thinking about that and thinking about the names of Jesus. And the Lord just led me to this passage of Scripture. I want to preach what's in a name. Amen. And maybe for the next few weeks, if the Lord don't change my mind, we're going to preach about some of the titles and some of the names of Jesus, because they're very important. Amen. Before he was even born, the world knew who he was going to be. Before he even came into that manger in Bethlehem, the world was already prepared for him and already knew who he would be and what they would call him. And in our text this morning, we see that God says a lot of things through the prophet Isaiah about Jesus and about who he will be. And the first thing I want you to see, the first name I want to dwell upon today, it says, "And his name shall be called Wonderful." Amen. I want to preach what's in a name. I tell you what, when it's the name of Jesus, it has to be wonderful. Amen. When it's the name of Jesus, it has to be everything that anybody could ever have desired and everybody could have thought about and hoped for. When it comes to Jesus, there can't be a more wonderful name that is spoken than the name of Jesus. Amen. When you speak Jesus to someone who's hurting, it just brings peace and calm. When you speak Jesus to someone who is seeking and searching, it brings hope and consolation. When you speak Jesus to someone that's lost a loved one, it just soothes their heart and brings peace to their life, even in the midst of a storm. When you speak Jesus, it's just such a wonderful thing to know, such a wonderful thing to share with somebody. I tell you what, there's nothing like the name of Jesus when the devil is attacking, when the devil is coming your way, and you just begin to speak Jesus. Amen. I can't fight the devil. I can't war against him. I'm no match for him, but praise God, I know the one that is. I know the name that he trembles before. I know the one that he already knows has defeated him and is going to have victory and is going to have final say in his end and his demise and in his eternity where he'll be. His name is Jesus. And that is a wonderful name. When you stop and think about that, he shall be called Wonderful. He's wonderful in every aspect of his being. He's wonderful in his past. The Bible says in John chapter number 1, verses 1 to 5, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God, and all things were made by him, and without him was not anything made that was made. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. and the light shineth in darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not. It says here in our text this morning, if you go back a little further, in verse number 2, and the people that walked in darkness have seen a great light, because Jesus has come into the world. Praise God, light has been brought into. What a wonderful thought. What a wonderful thing that we no longer have to walk in darkness. We can walk in the light. Amen. Because He is light. He's wonderful in His past. The Bible says, in the beginning was the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning, and all things were made by Him. He's a wonderful creator. Amen. He's wonderful in everything that He has created. When we look around us and we wonder at nature itself, we have to wonder at God, because He's the one who created. Jesus Christ, God's Son, was there in the moment that this world was spoken into existence. How wonderful is that, that not only He that came and was born in a manger, that He might die on an old rugged cross, is the very one that spoke a world into existence. He's the very one that said, let us, that is God talking, let us, who's He talking about? God Himself, Father, God Himself, the Son, God Himself, Holy Spirit, let us make man in our own likeness. Do you realize this morning how wonderfully and fearfully you're made? Because you're made by one who is so wonderful. Amen. He made you in His own likeness. He didn't make you like He made an angel. He made you in His likeness and His own image. He didn't make you like He made the rest of creation when He just spoke a word and creation was formed. He made you in His own likeness, in His own image. Each and every one of us, when we look into a mirror, we can look into a mirror realizing that we're wonderfully made in the image and the likeness of one who's wonderful. Above all, whose name is so wonderful above all, whose person is so wonderful above all, whose ability to create is so wonderful above all. Amen. He's wonderful in His creation. He's wonderful in His decisions. Do you realize that before God even created man, before He even breathed the breath of life into Adam and created that first being in His own likeness and His own image, He already knew that man would fall, that sin would reign in his life, that he would disobey God's commandment, he would disobey God's word. Yet He was so wonderful in His past decisions, that before the foundations of the world, He had already made the decision that He would become the Lamb that would take away the sin of the world. He would become the Lamb that would be the sacrifice for the sin of mankind. He would become the Lamb that would die on an old rugged cross, fulfilling the requirement of God. The wages of sin is death. The Bible says in Revelation 13:8, the Lamb slain from the foundation of the world. In 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 19 and 20, but with the precious blood of Christ as a Lamb without blemish and without spot, who verily was foreordained before the foundation of the world, but was manifest in these last days for you. Praise God. Isn't it wonderful to know that even before the world was formed, even before God spoke this wonderful world into existence, His thought and His decisions was to make a way for man's redemption. Who hadn't even failed yet, who hadn't even sinned yet, but God knew that it was going to happen. How wonderful is that? Amen. How wonderful was His birth. When He came and was born in Bethlehem, when they laid Him in the manger, do you realize that when, as the song says, when Mary kissed her little baby, she was kissing the face of God? When the shepherds came and they worshiped him, they were worshiping the very God of creation, the very one who had spoke the world into existence. But he chose to make himself of no reputation. He chose to make himself nothing, that we might become everything that he would have us to be. And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. How wonderful is that to know? How wonderful is it when you stop and think about Christmas and you realize that the whole purpose of Christmas, the whole purpose of a birth was a death on an old rugged cross. Amen? In due time, Christ died for the ungodly. How wonderful is that this morning, church? That though you didn't deserve it, and though you can't earn it, Christ came and he died for your sins. He gave himself willingly, humbly, submissively unto his Father's will on an old rugged cross. I don't know about you, but when I think about wonderful, when I begin to dwell on that word wonderful, When I open a dictionary up and I look for a definition of that word wonderful, it ought to just say Jesus. Amen. Amen. It would suffice just to say Jesus, because he truly is wonderful this morning. In everything in his past that he's chosen to do. He was wonderful in his birth. He was God's gift. Paul said he's an unspeakable gift. There's no way to describe. It was so wonderful you couldn't even describe the gift. Amen. He was wonderful in his death. He fulfilled the law. He paid the penalty for our sins. He died like no man had ever died. He suffered as no one had ever suffered. So that you and I don't have to go to a place called hell. How wonderful is that? But he rose again. Amen. He just didn't come and live a life like everybody else, be born and die and go into obscurity. Praise God, the Bible says he rose from the dead. He arose a victor. He arose defeating. He was a conqueror over death, hell, and the grave. And now it has no power over the hearts and lives of those who will surrender themselves and who will trust him as their Savior. How wonderful is that? Who else could do that but Jesus? No wonder they called him wonderful. But you know what? He's still just wonderful today. Amen. He's still as wonderful today as he ever was. He's not dead, but he lives. Amen. They came to the grave looking for Jesus. The angel said, "Why seek ye to live in among the dead? He's risen like he said." Amen. Jesus told John the Revelator in Revelation chapter 1, he said, "I am he that liveth." Amen. Aren't you glad he's alive? "And was dead, and behold, I'm alive forevermore." Praise God. They can't keep him down. Praise God. Death couldn't claim him. Death couldn't hold him, because death had no power over him. Amen. How wonderful is that? That same God that walked through the wilderness. The Bible says that they drank from the rock and they ate that manna. They said that that water that they drank from, Paul said over in Corinthians, he said that rock was Jesus. Amen. He was there with them. That's why I like that song, "It Was Me," that Michael Combs song. Amen. You ought to sing that tonight, brother. Amen. I like that song. Who do you think it was? Who do you think it was? The children had nothing to eat, and manna from heaven fell down at their feet. Man, who do you think brought it? When they needed something to drink and there was nothing to drink, who do you think brought it? It was him. When we needed a sacrifice and there was no sacrifice to be found, praise God, it was him. It was him that they laid in the grave. It was him that rose again the third day. Praise God, it's him that walks with us today. It's him that comforts our heart today. It's him that saves souls today. Praise God, how wonderful is that? Amen. He's a wonderful Savior. Amen, because he saves to the uttermost. He's a wonderful Savior because he saves whoever will call upon his name. He's a wonderful Savior because there is no other name given under heaven whereby men can be saved than the name of Jesus. Men are looking for truth. Men are seeking the way. Men are desiring life. And everything. How wonderful is it when you read John 14 and 6 and Jesus says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. He's not an I was, he's an I am. Amen. When Moses met him in the wilderness, he said, who shall I say sent me? He said, just tell him I am sent me. He was I am then. He's I am today. He'll be I am tomorrow. He said, before Abraham was, I am. Praise God. How wonderful is that? We have a God that's just as relevant today as he was in the day of creation. A God that's just as alive and with us today, just as present with us today as he was with his people. In the wilderness, a Savior who's just as alive and just as vibrant and just as real and just as relevant in our lives today as he was in the day that he walked and he talked with his disciples. How wonderful is it to know that the great I am, the way, the truth, and the life is with us today. Amen. See, he's a friend. The Bible says, but there's a friend that sticks closer than a brother. Jesus says, great, in John chapter 15, Jesus says, greater love hath no man than this, than a man lay down his life for his friends. And he says, you are my friends if you do whatsoever I command you. How wonderful. How wonderful it is to have a friend that was willing to lay his life down. A friend that's still just as relevant today as he was in that time. A friend that gave everything so that you could have everything. A friend that wants to be your constant companion. A friend that wants you to know him, not just as a friend who died for you, but as a friend who will save you. Right, amen. A friend who sacrificed everything that you so you could have everything. Amen. Oh my, how wonderful is that to know? I got a friend right here that comes to see me every service. Hand right out. Amen. Generally, there's a little something in my hand when I shake hands with him. But I have a friend that's my friend even though I can't give him anything. The only thing I had to offer him was my heart. And yet he's still my friend. The only thing that I could do for him that he wouldn't take and he wouldn't demand was my heart. And yet he loves me anyway. He said, I'll never leave you nor forsake you. How wonderful is that? No matter where you're at, no matter what you're going through, no matter what you're facing, no matter what storm, no matter what prison, no matter what darkness you find yourself in, you've got a friend. Amen. I was thinking his brother Charles sung that song. How many knows who wrote that song? Brother Charles does. How many ever heard of a fellow by the name of James Taylor? Pop singer back in the 70s. He wrote that song. But he also wrote another song called You've Got a Friend. Amen? You've got a friend. I'm glad to know tonight that when Jesus Christ came into this world, he came as Emmanuel, God with us. And just because he went back to the glory world, just because he's went back to heaven, doesn't mean that he's left us forsaken. Mm-hmm. Amen. He said, I'll be with you to the end of the age. You've got a friend. He said, I'll never leave you nor forsake you. You got a friend. He said, the comforter will always be there. You got a friend. Praise God tonight. How wonderful it is to know that no matter where we're at and what we're going through, we got a friend. Amen. Everybody else might not understand. Everyone else might not care. But praise his name this morning. I got a friend. Everybody else might not, you know, sometimes you got friends and you have other friends and they don't like your other friend. Anybody know what I'm talking about? Amen. Well, you know, they don't understand your other friend like you understand your other friend. Amen. You know where I'm coming from? Amen. I mean, I got friends that dress weird. Yeah. I got friends that look weird. I got friends that act weird. And other people, maybe not warm right up to my friends like I do. Amen. But see, I understand my friends. I know my friends. You know, your family you're stuck with, brother, but you know, you're stuck with me. Amen. But your friends you choose. Isn't it wonderful to know that we got a friend that understands us, a friend that knows us, a friend that loves us like we are? That's why we sang that song, Just As I Am. For God commended his love toward us, and that while we were yet sinners. Have you ever really grasped that? God commended his love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Oh, he loves you just like you are. He wants to save you just like you are. You don't have to try to change yourself and clean. You can't clean yourself up good enough. You can't pay enough money to be good enough. You can't do good enough. He loves you just like you are. Man, how wonderful a friend is that? Amen. It's wonderful to know that in this day and time that I have a mediator that is more wonderful than the world could ever imagine. You know, some folks believe that you got to go see a priest. And I like old Billy Kelly said it one time. He said, I don't understand how some people want to go sit in an outhouse and talk through a knot hole to some fella that dresses like mother that calls himself father. And he's supposed to intercede on your behalf and confess your sins to him. I can go right to the throne room of God. Amen. Amen. I don't have to go to anybody else. I don't have to look for another. Praise God. I don't have to worry about confessing my faults and my failures to some man who is no different, no better off than I am, has the same needs that I have. Praise God. I can go right to the throne room of God. Why? Because there's a mediator that sits there. There's one that sits and he intercedes on my behalf. There's one that every time the devil brings a railing accusation against me, I say, hold on, let me step in here. The blood has been applied. The blood is taking care of that. The blood has covered that. And he has nothing else to say. Praise God. I'm thankful that I got a mediator like that than one that can go out and tell me, well, you got to go do so many good deeds. You got to save so many Hail Marys. Amen. 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 Bible says over in Hebrews 7:25 says, wherefore he is able to save them to the uttermost that come unto God by him. Listen, seeing he ever liveth. Amen. See, he just didn't do it for the disciples. Amen. He just didn't do it in the past. He's a present day mediator. Amen. He liveth to make intercession for them. Timothy, 1 Timothy 2:5, it says there's one mediator between Christ and man, and that's the Lord Jesus, the man Jesus Christ. There is no one else. There is no one else that we can go to. There is no one else that can mediate on your behalf. Now, praise God, I can pray. I pray for my kids. I pray for my grandkids. I pray for my brothers and sisters. I pray for my friends. I can intercede in prayer on your behalf. But there's only one mediator that can make my request known. There's only one that can pick up what I'm trying to express and trying to get through to God with. The Bible says, We don't even know how we should pray. Therefore, the Spirit makes groanings for us. He even picks up in my prayer life and intercedes for me. Amen. Amen. How wonderful is that? Amen. How wonderful is that? He's wonderful in His presence. Amen. You ever been in a place where you're just in a trying situation, a troubling situation? Maybe something that you're even struggling with. And all of a sudden, the Lord just shows up. And you just feel the sweet peace of Jesus wash over your life. You ever been there? You ever been in a place where you thought you was going to die? Man, I told you about that daggone milk truck. Man, I was up north of Rising Sun there. Was it Kendall Road up there? Going down that road, and that's a little old twisty, windy road. Man, I went down one of them holes and come around one of them curves, and here come one of them milk trucks, tractor trailer. Now, you all know I don't drive light-footed. I was scooting along. I come around that curve, and all I seen coming the other way was a milk truck, tractor trailer. And if y'all have ever seen them milk trucks, you get up around Rising Sun, watch out for them because they'll run over you. Amen. They don't waste no time either. They got a lot of milk to get picked up and delivered in a short time to get it done in. And I thought it was the end. I'm telling you. It was a coming. I just kind of squinted my eyes and said, don't let it hurt. And the next thing I know, that truck was past me. I was on the other side of it. And the only thing I can explain to you how that happened was Jesus. Amen. Would you? And it just, I just said, don't let it hurt. And just, I just had peace. You know, she wants us to die together. I've told, my church knows this, my visitors, you know. She said, wouldn't it be nice if we could die together? I said, no. She said, why not? I said, well, that generally involves a lot of pain. You know, some tragedy, you know, get mashed by, you know, accident or something like that. You know, that don't sound too appealing. I don't mind death. I just mind getting to death. Amen. Death isn't the part that worries me. It's just the getting there. You know, I don't want it to hurt. I don't like pain. You know, when the doctor asks you, are you allergic to anything? The first top of the list is pain. Amen. I don't like pain. Can I get a witness? Amen. Amen. I don't like pain. I don't mind the dying. I just don't want to hurt in doing it. And for us to die together, I just envision, you know, pain and tragedy. Mangled body, arm laying over here, and you're bleeding to death, you know. Mashed up into something, and you're suffocating to death. Amen. Just let me die. And let me die preaching or something. You know what I mean? Just boom. Absent from the body, present with the man. Look at that. Man, if I die preaching, y'all shout hallelujah. Don't be weeping. Don't crying. Shout glory. Amen. He done gone on. Amen. He got to go out quick. He didn't have to suffer. Amen. He loves his wife, but praise God, she might have gone. She prays she goes before me. Amen. I don't know how it's going to happen, but if she goes before me, I'll meet her on the other side. Amen. If she's left behind, praise God, she'll know I didn't suffer. She'd just come to see me. Amen. But I'm thankful for His presence. Amen. In the midst of those times. Told you when I was on the ship, we hit that storm. we thought our ship, man, it was taking water on where it had water coming in where water shouldn't be coming in. We hit a tidal wave, a giant wave. It destroyed our ship, put us in a shipyard. We crippled back into Norfolk, and I mean, it was horrible. And Sister Connie looked it up. I'm not telling you a story. She looked it up. It's truth. They got it downplayed in that little article they wrote, too, I tell you. They told us when it happened, it was an 85-foot wave that hit us, and they said in this article, I think it was a 58-foot wave, but when it happened, they said it was 85. It laid us all the way over on our side, and I was on a big ship. My brother seen that ship I was on. That wasn't a little destroyer or something. It was a big ship. It laid us on our side. We had water coming in our air intakes, and it snuffed out our boilers. Our emergency diesels wouldn't start. Water was pouring in everywhere. We was laid over on the side for a while, and it wasn't looking good. And I mean, Marines were beating each other up to get out of a sailor's way so that we could get things going. And I thought we was going to die. I was down in the bowels of that ship. I felt like Jonah down in the bowels of a ship. Amen. And I said, well, if this is the way it's meant to be, it's the way it's meant to be. But I never thought I'd have to die and be buried in an old pig scale like this. Amen. And yeah, just all of a sudden, the sweet peace of Jesus showed up. Amen. And he kind of said, you know, when he shows up, he kind of takes over if you let him. Yeah. Amen. Our diesel, our emergency diesel, big old diesel engines. I mean, I'm talking about big old diesel engines for our emergency backup. Our boilers had them been snuffed out, flooded. They wouldn't start because they was full of water. So it was like, well, what are we going to do? We're on battery power. Batteries aren't going to last so long. And you got them little red lights throughout the ship with the batteries on. And sweet peace of Jesus just showed his presence. You know, I want to tell you something. In that time, you start making sure everything's good between you and the Lord. Amen. I'm confessing sins I hadn't even committed yet. Amen. I mean, I'm praying to Jesus about things that I just thought about. And he shows up. He says, why don't you do this? Why don't you do this? Started on that. I got our diesel started, and I called our generator started. I called up front and told them how to get the other one. I said, do this, do this, do this. He said, how'd you figure that out? I said, don't worry about it, just do it. Amen. Did it. We got our pumps pumping, ship back upright. We made it back into port, went into the shipyard. Spent several months there, but you know what? There's nothing like when Jesus shows up. There's nothing like when God's people get together in his name, call upon him, trust in him, and faith believing. Nothing like when God's people get together to worship and to praise him, for he's worthy of our praise, he's worthy of our worship. And the Bible says in Psalm chapter 22, I think it is, that he inhabits the praises of his people. Well, Psalmist said he inhabits the praises of Israel. If he inhabits the praises of Israel, I'm sure he inhabits the praises of Charlestown Missionary Baptist Church too. Jesus said, where two or three are gathered together in my name, I will be there in the midst also. How many of you came today in the name of Jesus? How many of you came today expecting Jesus to show up? How many of you came today looking for what Jesus was going to do in your life? I don't know about you, but I did. And praise God, he showed up. Bless my heart. He's wonderful in his present. Endeavors his present ministering in our lives. But he's wonderful in his future and the promises that he's made. Revelations chapter 21, verses 22 and 23 says, and I saw no temple therein, for the Lord God Almighty and the Lamb are the temple of it. How wonderful is that? Amen. And the city had no need of the sun, neither of the moon to shine in it, for the glory of God did lighten it, and the Lamb is the light thereof. How wonderful is that? Amen. We're going to a city where we don't have to worry about the sun. We don't have to worry about global warming. We don't have to worry about the ice age. We don't have to worry about anything. We're going to a city. We're going to a place where God inhabits it, where his Son inhabits it. And it's so wonderful to know that we'll never have to worry about nature again. because we'll be with the one who created all the things in nature that we see, all the things in nature that we concern ourselves with. How wonderful is that? I mean, if you could just get a vision. That's why Paul, he wanted to go. He wanted to die. He was ready. Amen. Paul said he got called up into the third heaven. He said, whether in the body or out of the body, I don't know, but man, I got there. You know what that means? He went beyond our atmosphere. He went beyond space. He got caught up into heaven, into the very presence of God. He said, I got to see and hear things that are unlawful to even utter. Amen. He told the Philippian church, he said, I wanted a long time ago to go on and be with Jesus. He said, but it was needful for you. That I say, you know, you ever stop thinking about that? Where would the world be if the church was all gone? If you got saved and God took you out of here, what would be the hope for those who follow you? The hope for succeeding generations to hear about Jesus? There wouldn't be nobody to tell them. That's why it's needful for you to be here. But Paul, he done got a vision. He done got a glimpse into heaven. He was ready to go. When it came time for his execution over in 2 Timothy chapter 4, Paul said, the time of my departure is at hand. And I do use this illustration a lot because I think it is so pertinent and so relevant. It's so needful for us to grasp today. He didn't say the time of my demise, the time of my execution, the time of my death. He said the time of my departure is at hand. He was getting ready to leave the city of Rome to set foot in the celestial city of God, a place that God had prepared, a home that God had made for him, eternal in the heavens. Now, how wonderful is that? Amen. A place where they don't need no sun. They don't need no moon. They don't need no stars. They don't need nothing that is being created to shine the light, because they're going to dwell and we're going to be in the very presence of light. We don't have to worry about dying. We don't have to worry about sickness. We're going to be in the very presence of life. Everything that we need, everything that we desire, will be fulfilled in Him. He's everything. Everything. The Bible tells us He's a bridegroom. What a wonderful thought. The bridegroom that's coming to get His bride. The bridegroom that's coming to claim His church, the bride. The bridegroom that's not going to leave His church, His love behind. He'll say, come up hither, my love, my fair one. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. He says He's going to come with the sound of the trumpet and with a shout. And He's going to call His bride. He's going to call His redeemed. He's going to call His church out. Paul said, I'm jealous over you with a godly jealousy, for I have espoused you to one husband, that I may present you as a chaste virgin to Christ, the bridegroom. Christ, the one who gave everything, His dowry that He paid for us, was the greatest price that's ever been paid, that He might take us unto His own. He's a wonderful bridegroom, and He's coming to get His bride. He's a wonderful King. Folks, you might rebel at letting Christ sit on the throne of your heart. You might rebel at letting Him be the Lord of your life. But let me tell you something. We got a lot of Christians who rebel over letting God have complete control, complete sway over their lives. And they're miserable Christians. They're struggling Christians. They're ones that have problems in their spiritual walk and in their spiritual life. But if you allow Him in and you seat Him on the throne of your heart, you'll find out that He's a wonderful King. He's a wonderful Lord. He's a wonderful sovereign to be in submission to. The Bible says in Revelation 19:16, and he hath on his vesture and on his thigh a name written, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Why would you want to fight against the one that the Bible says is the King of Kings? There is no other king like him. He's above every king. He's above every dominion. There's no one else that we should be in submission to. There's no Lord that we should humble ourselves to and submit ourselves to. He's King of Kings and Lord of Lords. How wonderful is that? No wonder they call him wonderful. He's a wonderful judge. One day he's going to judge. He's going to judge his church. At the Bema seat, the judgment seat of Christ, we'll receive the rewards according to the deeds done in our life. And folks, that's only for the church. That's not for all of mankind. That's only for his bride. That's only for those who have trusted him and accepted him as their Lord and Savior. But then there'll be the great white throne judgment. The apostle says, and I saw heaven open, and behold, a white horse, and he that sat upon him was called faithful and true. And listen to this, and in righteousness he doth judge and make war. You see, he don't judge according to man's precepts. He don't judge according to your idea of right or wrong. He doesn't judge according to what you feel, think, or believe. He judges in righteousness. And Jesus said, the Father has committed all judgment unto me. And if you don't know him, if you've never received him as your personal Savior, if you've never made him Lord of Lords and King of Kings in your life, if you've never went to him and let him be that mediator between you and God and plead the blood on your behalf and write your name in the Lamb's Book of Life, you'll stand before this righteous judge and hear him say, depart from me, you workers of iniquity. I never knew you. Bind them hand and foot. Cast them into outer darkness. But you don't have to go there. Because a wonderful judge that judges in righteousness looks in the book to see if your name is written there. And if your name is written there, say, enter in. Enter into the joys. Not just enter into the joys, but enter into the glory. Enter into the majesty. Enter into the presence like you've never known. He's wonderful in his preeminence. I'm Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end, the first and the last. Throughout all eternity, he will exist. His purpose is the bridegroom. His position as king. His power as judge. His preeminence and his assurance as eternal makes him wonderful in the future. Folks, we got a Savior that we're about to celebrate his birth. Celebrate his submission and his surrender and the taking on this mantle of flesh and mantle of clay that he might fulfill his Father's will. And this wasn't something that just happened by accident. It was a wonderful plan set in place in eternity past. It was a wonderful plan that was fulfilled some 2,000 years ago. It's a wonderful plan that still provides salvation, still provides hope, still provides confidence to those who trust Him and believe. It's a wonderful plan that gives us an assurance. Brother Jim, Sister Mary, get a song.